right, welcome to another edition of the Private Officer Radio here on the Public Safety Radio Network. And today is Sunday, so it must be time to do another episode of From the Legal Side. Today we're going to be talking about contracts, something that is widely used in the service industry and a necessary tool both for the provider as well as the customer. Extremely important that whenever we are dealing with the contractual situation that we have a good, detailed, valid contract in place, and it really just protects everyone involved. So today, in this episode from the legal side, we will be discussing some of the do's and don'ts about contracting and how to write a good contract, what a contract really is, because honestly, a lot of folks don't completely understand that and get it wrong often. And because of poorly written contracts, companies will and can and do lose out on long-term income. Contracts can be canceled even when you have a good solid contract in place, but it's the details of the contract that will determine if that cancellation is done with or without cause, and whether or not they have to give you any type of notice and how long the notice should be. So we're going to talk about those details coming up from the legal side. But we do want to talk about the news and about some other things happening as well from the home base here at Private Officer International. We often bring up the news and tell you about the importance of following the news as well as using it for your advantage, for informational purposes, for training purposes. It's just really a smart thing to do. Now, we don't really always broadcast as much news as we really should. There's actually a lot more news that our staff picks up on, but there's only so many items, really, that we can put out there. So from time to time, we do miss some of the headlines, and even though our staff is following well over 1,000 different news organizations now, we receive tons of press releases and one-on-one contacts from public information officers and press releases and so forth. Still, there's a lot of news that we don't broadcast because of time constraints, space constraints, and generally speaking, not everyone wants to see every little detail of the news, even though it's important and it really is relevant to their business, their field, profession, and their training. But unfortunately, there's only so much that we can put out there. So if you want to see all the news, first thing that you need to do is sign up for our newsletters, be on the news list, get our newsletters, which are sent out at least 3 times a week, as well as our breaking news, which is sent out anytime a major incident, security officer death, or other really priority news breaking items happen. We send those alerts out so that you are aware of what's going on. Sign up for them on the homepage at privateofficer.com, privateofficer.com. And by the way, speaking of privateofficer.com, and I'm going to mention this again tomorrow in my weekly Monday broadcast, but we are again updating our website, as we often do at least once a year. We try to keep things fresh, navigable, try to get it where it's easy to understand, to be able to find things that you're looking for, and hopefully keep it fresh, keep it engaging, and hopefully our new website is doing that. So if you haven't been there lately, then by all means you need to go check it out at privateofficer.com. And while you're there, you can also sign up for our breaking news, and you can also reach us 24 hours a day from the help desk at privateofficer.com. You can link there on the front of the page to all of our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, our own forums, and much more right there at privateofficer.com. So check it out today. We have a lot of information to share with you, and also a lot of things that is happening. And unfortunately, as much as we try to communicate it out, sometimes it's hard. We do use Twitter to send out much of our breaking news, much of our upcoming events. We also use it to market and to keep folks well informed of what's happening. But with so much going on, we're looking at a couple of different new methods to be able to communicate really everything that's happening. Now, we do use Constant Contact as our main tool to generate information and news out to our subscribers. But unfortunately, because it's email-based, a lot of folks change emails. A lot of folks, don't update their information with us. And so, unfortunately, they lose track of us and we lose track of them. So, if you're listening to this news broadcast, this radio show today, and you were one of our members or are currently a member or part of our social media network, please make sure that your email addresses are updated with us at all times so that you can get the latest news, information, training events, and all of the great stuff happening, being communicated and dispatched through Private Officer and Armor College. We want to briefly tell you a little bit about some upcoming events. We have a number of great upcoming events over the next 3 to 4 weeks. We are going out to Montana, so we'll be training out there. And we're stopping in Oklahoma and a number of other states as well. If you are interested in sponsoring a training, 1 or 2 day training, with over 50 topics in your area, your business, be sure to send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Okay. Not a breaking news. Be sure to go to our website to check that out at privateofficer.com. Also check out all of the great training opportunities at armorcollege.org. And remember, we're always looking for good trainers, regional trainers, as well as specific adjunct instructors. You can apply and check out the openings at armorcollege.org. Right now, we have a number of positions that are available to you, so check them out at the website. They are updated frequently. I know that we are looking for a Washington, D.C. Special Police instructor full-time for Northern Virginia. So if you are or know someone who is a SPO instructor, please have them go to the armorcollege.org website to apply, or send us an email at the help desk. Also, we're looking for a full-time health science instructor manager who will oversee the EMT program and several other medical programs in Virginia, in Richmond, and Northern Virginia. So, again, if you are qualified or know someone who is, check out the website at armorcollege.org. We're always going to be adding new positions because we're expanding and we have a lot of new areas that we're looking to go into as far as opening a campus. So check it out. And if you're interested in having your own school, that's also a great possibility because we are franchising. Again, all that information is on the web at armorcollege.org. Before I talk today about contracts, we also want to mention that we do have a new sponsor of the program, Guardian 8, which offers a great non-lethal weapon. Guardian 8 is a great company. If you have a assignment, especially in the medical community or campus environment, where you just need some type of protection for your officers, you don't really want to use a taser and you don't want to arm them with a firearm, Guardian 8 makes a weapon that is both something that I think is effective before even using the secondary weapon. So it is a weapon that has some automation to it and some sounds, and it also releases pepper spray. But check them out on our website at privateofficer.com. Click on the banner. We are working with them to become national trainers and hope to do that over the next few months. By the way, we were talking a moment ago about our Montana trip, where we are traveling west to train some tribal public safety law enforcement. And we will be tweeting and Facebooking and doing some radio shows as well while we're on the road. So stay on top of those type of things and be sure to tweet us back. And if you're not currently on Twitter, please go there and follow us. You're really going to be informed right away in real time as it happens. Security, then you don't want to miss our Wednesday broadcast because it's all about you, all about retail security. And while we're talking about retail security, just want to remind you that we do have several great retail security programs over at Armor College. We have a general program. It's all about retail security, loss prevention, physical and electronic. And then we have an organized retail crime program, which is really a hot commodity, really a hot topic these days. If you're involved in that industry or you want to be in that profession, check out those professional diploma programs over at armorcollege.org. All right, we want to talk for a few moments today about contracts, about the legal verbiage, about the structure. We want to talk about really what details are necessary to be a contract, and what is the structure that we should have? What is a contract? A lot of people get it wrong. A lot of folks believe that if I say it and you say it and we agree, it's a contract. Well, yes and no. Verbal contracts are legal and binding. However, you know, it's not as simple, you know, as it used to be. Contracts are ever it's a foundation. It's a fundamental start to your business agreement, your business proposal with the company. So if you're a service provider, whether that be private security or janitorial, or maybe you, you know, maybe you wash windows, whoever, whatever, who knows. But in any contract, you must have these three simple things. It's really elementary. It's the fundamental aspect to contracts. You must have an offer. You must have an offer. Well, you know, I told them I would do this. You know, I was able to do this, and he said, that sounds good. Is that really a contract? I don't think so. You must have an offer. You must be specific. You're offering to do something, whether it be paint the house, provide security at the grocery store, or wash somebody's car. That's an offer. It must be specific. You must have an acceptance. Someone must say, okay, okay, let's do that. I accept. They must accept. So an offer, an acceptance, and a consideration. Now, consideration is generally financial, but, you know, really it could be just about anything. I agree to paint your house if you'll give me your 1967 sports car, the Camaro, out in the driveway. Hey, if the guy or the woman says yes, sure, I'll trade for that. We'll dicker. You know, that's a contract. That's consideration. The vehicle is the payment for the service. If you offer to provide contract security at McDonald's and they say, we'll pay you, kind of like Wimpy in the old cartoon, we'll pay you 10 hamburgers a day for the next year, and you say, sure, I love McDonald's.
That'll work.
I love hamburgers, and I'll do it. Then that is the consideration. That is the payment for services rendered. You both have a meeting of the mind. You're both on the same page. The offer was in place. There was an acceptance. And you talked about and agreed on what the payment would be, what the consideration was. And that was hamburgers. 10 hamburgers a day for a year. Not for the rest of your life. Not for 10 years. For 1 year. That's a contract. Even if it's only verbal, you definitely have a contract. Now you need to memorialize that in writing, even in the simplest of forms, on a sheet of paper with just that information. You're going to do XYZ for XYZ company, and payment will be XYZ, 10 hamburgers a day for a year. That's a contract. But in our contracts, especially in the security industry, we must be extremely, extremely definite in our wording, extremely careful in how it's structured, and even dates. Make sure that we're outlining A, of course, who the client is, B, the address that they want the service at. If we list the client's headquarters location, 123 Main, but they want the service in a whole different town or a whole different street, we need to make sure that we have that listed as the service address. It will make a difference if something happens down the road. If you only have the main address of the company, the headquarters, the corporate office, and not the service location, it will cause you a problem in court if you ever have a legal situation. We want to list detail for detail for detail what services are to be rendered. We're going to have an unarmed security officer at the grocery store from 6 a.m. until 6 a.m. 6 a.m. to 6 a.m.? You mean for one moment? For 30 seconds? No, we're going to have a security officer standing post at the grocery store from 6 a.m. till 6 a.m. the next day. Or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Be specific on the hours, the location, and the duties of that security officer. If you don't put down that the security officer is not to stop shoplifters, the security officer is not to go out and patrol the parking lot, and something happens in the parking lot, or a shoplifter gets away, with merchandise. And the managers are aware of it. The employees are aware of it. The public are aware of it. Then you're going to look like you didn't do your job. And it would be easy for that client, that customer, to cancel your contract because you're not stopping shoplifters. You're not deterring shoplifters. You're not preventing theft. And therefore, the client could easily say, you're not doing your job. Even though it was the original agreement not to stop shoplifters, not to act as loss prevention, not to patrol the parking lot. Remember, if it's not written down, it didn't occur, it didn't happen. You gotta have it on paper. Spell it out. It doesn't matter if you have 10 pages to the contract or 20 pages to the contract, all details. Be specific. We have an unarmed security officer 24 hours a day. He is to stand at the front of the store and greet customers. He is to check receipts on the way out the door. He is not to chase shoplifters. He is not to stop suspected shoplifters. And he is not to exit and patrol the parking lot. He is not to intervene in any crime occurring on the property. According to the contract, according to the specifics of the client, he is only to maintain visible presence, observe and report at the front door. Be specific. That will alleviate any areas of contention by the client. That will alleviate any liability on the part of the security company or the security officer assigned to the store. The devil is in the details. Be sure that you are inclusive of everything that you're supposed to do. Be sure that you are inclusive of the hours, of the rate of pay, of the start time and the finish time, even down to whether or not a report should be left. I remember a situation years ago. The construction company was building a school. At that time, they had a couple of trailers and some company vehicles and some heavy equipment and a lot of dirt and dust and really no place to leave reports. There was no mailbox. There was no open slot in the door of the trailer. There was no place. And there was never mention, not one time, please leave a security report for the foreman. About 3 months or so into the contract, one of the VPs of the construction company called to ask, where are the security reports? Where are the daily reports? And we told them, the person who signed the contract didn't ask for any. In fact, he said there was no place to leave them right now. Eventually, they would be putting up a mailbox. But there was no place. And he said, well, why didn't you tape them on the door? Why didn't you tack them on the door of the trailer? Why didn't you try to slide them under the door? Why didn't your man give it to one of the construction workers when they came in at 5 a.m.? Well, if we had done that and taped it up to the door, it could have been blown away or could have been ripped off and thrown away by one of the workers. If we gave it to a worker, it could have been tossed out. It wasn't his job to be mailman. But the vice president of the construction company said, because we didn't follow through and leave reports, that he was going to terminate the contract. Looking back at the contract, it didn't say that a report was even supposed to be written. It didn't say a report was supposed to be left. And yet he argued that his foreman said that he wanted the report, a daily security report. It was his word against ours. Had it been in the contract that the foreman of the job site, who was in charge, did not want a report, stated that there was no place to leave a report, that maybe in the future we could start leaving a security report, then it would be in black and white, and we would have no problem defending why we did what we did. Be sure that you leave no room for guessing, no room for questioning, no room for the client, for the customer, to say you've done something wrong. Be very specific. Remember, a contract, if it's not on paper, it didn't happen. A contract simply is an offer, an acceptance, and a consideration. And you have to be detailed. Outline everything from A to Z. Contracts can be canceled at any time with or without notice, depending on how the contract is written. Most of the time, contracts, if they're written correct, they're going to call for at least a 30-day, sometimes as much as a 90-day written notice. Be sure that no matter what, even with cause, unless the security person blew up the client's property, you know, unless there was something major that happened, make sure that you have a clause that a written cancellation is to be given at least 30 to 90 days in advance. Now, with cause basically just means that a security officer has been caught stealing, or that there's some liability issues, or that the security company plain and clearly is not doing their job. They're violating the contract, and therefore they can drop you like a hot potato. But if they just want to change companies, or they decided not to have security anymore, then that's without cause, and they will have to give you a written notice if it's in the contract.
Yes, thanks.
Well, that's all today for On the Legal Side. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to be with us tomorrow on the Private Officer Beat, and again on Wednesday. And remember, follow us on Twitter, Facebook. Go to our website at privateofficer.com to click on those links. And if you're not a member, we encourage you to do so, because we're here to help you. We offer a lot of member benefits, a lot of great services, and we're growing. And with that growth, we're able to do much more. Thanks again for being with us here on the Legal Side, and we'll see you again back here on the radio. Till then, God bless, be safe, and we'll see you the next time.